There's hot yoga. What about hot economics? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, the United States has won a victory against China at the World Trade Organization. That said, China also won. It's about Chinese exports of solar panels, kitchen shelving, strands of wire, extruded aluminum. But it's also about something bigger. The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker also helps us with trade matters. Andrew, I guess the U.S. has been right all along. China does unfairly subsidize some of its companies.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that. And it's a view that's widely shared among many of China's trading partners. The issue in this case was whether the US method of assessing the fact of whether China was providing illegal subsidies and in quantifying them, whether that method was consistent with the WTO's rulebook. And as is often the case, actually, with WTO rulings, the conclusion has been that in some respects, the US was on the right side of the rules, and in some aspects, it was on the wrong side.
So China has something to crow about as well, given this ruling. Is this significant, this technical matter of how the penalties are assessed? Does it matter?
This is not really another stage in the more aggressive approach to trade policy that has been taken by the Trump administration. This is a dispute that really got going under President Obama. And it was an example of the routine business of the WTO, if you like, of countries using the rule book to take action against goods that are dumped or unfairly subsidized, and then the country on the receiving end of that kind of action questioning whether it had been done in a way that was consistent with the WTO's rules. That was going on all the time. The Trump administration's approach to trade does represent, in many respects, a significantly more assertive approach. And that's not really, I have to say, illustrated by the ins and outs of this specific dispute.
The BBC's Andrew Walker, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
It is a day to consider Mr. Willis Carrier. Born in 1876, he invented the modern air conditioner. That, given temperatures today in the Midwest, parts of the East here and beyond, a new study by the Union of Concerned Scientists says climate change will bring more extreme heat. There's health risks, dangers for crops, and Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports there's a calculation now about hot weather and productivity.
It's mid-morning in Washington, D.C. The heat and humidity are already oppressive, and it's not even the hottest part of the day yet. Justin Holland is a sign installer standing in the shade near his big truck. He knows what to expect on days like this.
You find yourself getting more exhausted sooner than just working a normal 8-hour shift. You'll be just as tired if you work 12 to 14 hours.
Heat not only affects how long you can work, but how well you can work. Solomon Chung is a public policy professor at the University of California, Berkeley.
As we have more frequent hot days, we expect economic productivity to decline. And this will be probably quite subtle because, you know, one day is a little bit hotter, you're a little bit less productive, but those days add up.
The International Labor Organization says heat stress linked to global warming could drain more than $2 trillion from global GDP. People work more slowly, need more breaks. Also,
that people make mathematical errors when the temperatures rise. And so if you're doing something that's sort of a very technical job, you might have, you know, errors creep in.
Jisung Park at UCLA has research showing student test scores drop in hot weather.
And if you work outdoors, much harder to protect yourself from either the productivity or the health impacts from extreme heat.
Glass installer Brian Herrera paused while unloading his truck to give me his heat safety tips.
I always wear a long shirt so I can protect my skin from the sun and use some creams and things for my face and on my body so I don't get burned.
He says he's used to working in this weather and takes frequent water breaks. Herrera says he can't work less, so he just tries to finish his jobs quickly.
I was thinking, like, gotta be fast, fast, fast. Every day I gotta be faster.
Because ultimately, the best protection from the heat is to get out of it as soon as you can. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
Thank you. With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Footwear is getting the high-end collectibles treatment at Sotheby's in New York. The auction house has partnered with the online sneaker marketplace Stadium Goods to hold a sneaker auction through next week. Some pretty rare shoes, Marketplace's Renata Sago reports.
Sotheby's is expecting to get $160,000 for a pair of 1970s Nikes that the co-founder of the company, Bill Bowerman, designed himself. And the auction house hopes to get $18,000 for some self-lacing Nikes inspired by the 80s classic Back to the Future. Julia Halperin with ArtNet News says older conventional art collectors may frown upon all of this, but Sotheby's is eyeing a different buyer here.
Young people with money are interested in sneakers, and Sotheby's is very interested in young people with money.
She says old or rare sneakers are increasingly becoming a status symbol.
These things are kind of on the border of art and mass culture.
Matt Powell with the NPD Group says global demand for all sneakers is rising, and that's fueling the collectibles market. Shoe companies, he says, want a bigger piece of the action, and so they're making more limited edition kicks.
Where they might have made 500 pairs once, now they're making 5,000 pairs or 50,000 pairs.
Sotheby's sneaker auction runs through next Tuesday. I'm Renata Sago for Marketplace.
Also covering Tesla pioneer Elon Musk's newly announced company. It's about implants so your brain can control equipment around you. No, it's not perfected yet, not even close. Our coverage in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast later on if you miss it on the air. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.